Hi, and welcome to Common Denominator, straight-up conversations with me, Moshe Popak. Each week, I chat with pioneers, innovators, and truly inspirational people from all walks of life to learn the steps they take to turn their ideas into reality. My goal is to empower you to dive in, be bold, and take profound steps toward realizing your own potential. My guest this week is Antonio Neves, a TV and podcast host, a leadership speaker, and the author of the new book, Stop Living on Autopilot. Antonio will share the strategies you need to recommit to your life, find your drive, and experience lasting happiness. Next.
This is Common Denominator, straight up conversations with Moshe Popak. Now, here's Moshe.
Hi, Antonio. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a joy to be here with you.
You've written a new book called Stop Living on Autopilot. What does living on autopilot mean?
I think the best way we can talk about living on autopilot is by an exercise I share in the book, and it's called The Last 30 Days. And for those people that are watching, listening right now, I invite them, if they have a job, to think about the last 30 days at work and ask themselves the simple yet challenging question. If their boss, if their manager had to make a decision to rehire them based on how they showed up the last 30 days, would the answer immediately be yes, or would there be some hesitation? If there's some hesitation, they may be on autopilot. If you happen to be in a relationship, you're married, right? You have a spouse, you have a partner. You can ask the same question to them. If based on the last 30 days, how you showed up in that relationship, would your partner immediately recommit to you or not? If not, you may be on autopilot. We can look at that with our finances, with our health, with our diet, our parenting, sure, et cetera. Because the truth is, there are a variety of things that we used to do, right? That we used to do that we have stopped doing. So those are some metrics to determine if you're living on autopilot or not.
Yeah, I think that's an amazing starting point. You know, when you do come to that conclusion that I have been living on autopilot, what is step one that you would have to do, saying, you know what, I don't want to live on autopilot, let me do something about it?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, we have to acknowledge it. We have to accept it. So many people, we're telling lies to ourselves every single day. We are making excuses. So first and foremost, we have to accept that we are on autopilot. But then we have to make a new commitment, right, for our life. We talk so much about this word commitment every single day, and commitment is important. But every single day, we have to recommit to what's most important. So for me, I like to have fun with this. So I like a question I like to ask is, if your life was a movie, what would the lead character start doing to turn things around? Let me say that again. If your life was a movie, what would the lead character start doing to turn things around? Right now, you know some key things that you can do in your career. Right now, everyone knows some key things they can do in their relationship to make it better. Parenting, finances, et cetera. So even though I'm a coach, I'm a firm believer that everyone pretty much has the answers to their questions. They just haven't been asked the right question. So acceptance first and foremost, but then we have to make some clear decisions about our steps moving forward.
So let's break this down into different categories. How do we stop living on autopilot in the business world?
I invite people right now to think back to when they were interviewing for the job that they were in, right, that they're in right now. And how excited they were when they got the job interview, and how fired up they were when they found out they got the second job interview. And then they found out they were a finalist for the job. And then the day they got the job, remember how excited you were? Like when you found out you got the job. Then what I invite people to do is to think about who they were that first week on the job, that first month on the job, that first year on the job, how they showed up. What I like to call that day one energy. And then ask yourself that question, how much of that man or woman still exist? I know you run businesses, you have people that report to you, and I like to remind people, do you remember when you used to show up early to work? Do you remember when you used to go above and beyond? Do you remember when you used to make a proactive effort to build relationships? Do you remember when you treated personal and professional development as your responsibility as opposed to other people? So I like to look at it like that day one energy.
Wow, Antonio, I really love that advice. Now let's move on to relationships. How do we be more present in each of our relationships?
Remember courting people? Like with that courting process, that first date? Yeah. I love what Chris Rock said about this. He says, when two people go on a first date, you're actually sending your representative because that's not really who you are.
Yeah,
but we used to court, we used to date, we used to write notes, we used to do those amazing things to make that person feel like a million bucks. And now, like, our opening move is like, what do you want to watch on Netflix tonight? That is not enough. We have to shift the game to create deeper connection.
Yeah, I think the deeper connection is the key. You know, I think it was Tony Robbins always talks about habits and rituals. So it's looking at our past habits and rituals that we have, because that's what really shapes our day to day, and then create positive habits and rituals. I'm gonna write a beautiful letter to my wife, or I'm gonna get her flowers, for my girlfriend, and I'm gonna do it religiously. Okay, so now you add kids to the relationship. That's probably a whole other challenge. I know you, for example, have 5-year-old twins. How do you connect with them on a daily basis?
Yeah, listen, showing up for your family is critical. So let's rewind, especially as a business owner, entrepreneur, something you will appreciate. Sometimes we end up giving our absolute best to the people who matter least, right? We give our most, our heart, our energy to people out there. But sometimes when we come home, the people who love us the most, who aren't going anywhere, we show up the least for them. So for me personally, I had to make a recommitment to my wife, to my family, because I was giving everybody else all of me and they were getting the worst of me. The dad that came home and the husband that came home tired, in a bad mood, not wanting to talk, et cetera. So, you know, as it relates to my kids, not long ago, we were talking about superpowers in our house. We were just having fun with our 5-year-old twins. And I asked my son, what's your superpower? And he said, his superpower is running fast. And asked my daughter, what's her superpower? And she said she could fly. And I was like, hey, what do you think daddy's superpower is? And without hesitation, my daughter said, working. Wow. She said, my superpower is working. So that was a wow. It was a punch to the face. It was a wake-up call, because now, of course, I used to go to an office. Now I primarily work from home. So they associate daddy only with working. So now, to your point earlier about creating rituals, about creating, you know, ongoing standards, I have to create specific time when they're getting all of me. Not me with my phone in my hand while I'm checking messages, not me behind my computer when I'm doing two things at once, but where they get all of dad. And as you know, with your family, does that mean that we have to get 60 minutes uninterrupted? No, but sometimes that amazing 10 minutes with intention that you spend with your wife or your kids, it goes so far.
I know, it's so interesting having 9 kids myself, and it's like, okay, time is going to go by. So my wife and I put together a program. We said, no matter what, you're going to be with 4 of the kids. I'm going to be with 5 of the kids each week for an hour. Again, without that phone, like you're talking about, right? Without that phone. And you just say, let's play a game. Let's do something and connect. Let's go to the pool. And you just tap in to the people that are important. And the same way, even to my wife's like, at least 3-4 times a week, we got to have the hour, no phones, no food, nothing. And we're sitting down and we're strategizing, because that's where it goes. That's your home base, you know?
So, absolutely. And you bring up a really important point. And I think the reason why a lot of the stuff isn't happening for so many people is because it's not on the calendar. It's not getting scheduled. A lot of people like this whole notion of, I'm just going to go with the flow. You know what? When you go with the flow, you can end up absolutely anywhere. Most times when you go with the flow, you end up places you don't want to be. But when you're intentional and you know that Wednesday is date night for mom and dad, you know that Saturday mornings, I get the kids, you get solo time, or we split, divide, and conquer. But when we have it on the calendar, that is intentional. And a lot of people, that they resist putting things on the calendar. I don't know about you, but I find that when things are on the calendar, it creates intention. And in many ways, it creates freedom for me as well, because I know what's happening versus it being ad hoc and then last minute feeling pressure of doing certain things.
I'm a big fan, not, you talk about the calendar, but I'm a big fan of the pen to paper. You take everything, you take that pen, you write on the paper, you're able to see it, and it doesn't come off that list till it's done, right? And who are we? What are our days, right? Our career, our family life, and even our physical fitness, right? That regimen. Every morning, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, get up, go do your workout, do it every day, or do it, have your system to it, and make it super important.
What you're talking about that I love is you make it non-negotiable. You know, so many people are negotiating with themselves every single day. Like, am I going to work out today? Am I going to eat good today? You know, as I'm hearing you talk, I realize you working out, it's not a choice. It's getting done. Do you like it when your alarm clock goes off at 4:45 or 5 a.m.? For me, when mine goes off at 5 a.m., do I like it? No, but it's non-negotiable. I'm getting up because I know if I do certain things, it's going to make me a better professional. It's going to make me a better husband. It's going to make me a better dad, right? Too many people are negotiating with themselves, and you hit the nail on the head. It becomes real when you put pen to paper. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against technology, but I'm old school. I still have an old school planner. I write things down. I still journal. In my book, I have all these amazing exercises and stop living on autopilot. And I encourage people to answer the exercises at the end of each chapter with pen and paper. The funny thing nowadays, people can only write like three sentences before the hands start cramping because we don't write anymore. But as you said, pen to paper makes it real. And people who are listening, stop negotiating with yourself. Have your standards. Put it on the calendar.
And it's funny because I say pen to paper, but actually in today's day and age, it's the notes section on your iPhone. I'm like, boom, I put my note in, and there it is. And I have it 1, 2, 3, 4, and you just do it. And it was interesting. I want to go back to career because I know when I started, it was always easy. Let's say a Saturday, Sunday, let me watch the football game. Let me just, do something around that space. But then I realized that there's so many more waking hours. It's 9 to 5. Fine, you can have your job. But a lot of people have who they are, their essence, and what they love. And what I was doing is I was just reaching out to different banks and lawyers. I'm in real estate business. And just trying to find real estate investments after hours. What about the hours from 6 to 11 to 12? What about putting in that time for things that are important?
Yeah, it's a critical. We talk so much about our 9 to 5, but what people don't talk enough about is their 5 to 9, right? We talk about 9 to 5, but we don't talk about 5 to 9 in the evenings. We don't talk about the 6 to 9. We don't talk about the time we spend on the weekends. And I'm a big proponent of telling people to do less. Very rarely will you hear someone say do less. But what I mean by doing less is this. So many people, especially around the beginning of the year, they're like, I'm going to work out 5 days a week. And I'm like, no, you're not. Yeah, let's be real. You're not going to work out 5 days a week. But how about you put 3 days a week on the calendar? If that's going to be doable, maybe you'll build up to 5 minutes. People who want to write a novel or write a book, I'm going to write for 2 hours every single day. No, you're not. How about you just put 30 minutes on the calendar every single day to write? But is that enough time? 30 minutes over the course of a week is a few hours. Over the course of a month, you can do the math yourself. So I think people overwhelm themselves by trying to do so much. But if you break it down into small increments, I can only imagine you calling up banks, calling up, looking for potential deals. What you can accomplish in the course of 20 minutes or 30 minutes is amazing. But people don't think that's enough time. It's more than enough time. What people were talking about are excuses. One thing that people seem to be really committed to are excuses. And I'm really just empowering people and reminding myself every single day, regardless of the ebbs and flows of what's going on out there, I can't control those things. I can control my attitude. I can control my actions. I can control my behavior. So I invite people to identify what are your standards? What are your values? Most people, as you probably know, if you ask them that question, they can't answer what they are. But when you identify what those standards and values are, you won't be negotiating with yourself every single day.
I think the lifelong work is to figure out who you are, right? To your point, to figure out who you are and to do what you love every day. our brains are wired to that excuses, like you were saying. How many times have we heard the word no, you can't do it, it's not possible? So our brain convinces us that we can't do something. So with the writing down and the intention and seeing it, that definitely gets you out of the autopilot, which is the default of, you know, not doing something.
Absolutely. And I think you said something really important a moment ago. You talked about that commitment to doing what you love. And what I have to remind people, especially, you know, as a business owner, that I want to remind people that even when you do what you love, it doesn't mean that every single day is going to be rainbows and unicorns running, right? You're not eating Skittles every single day. You know, even when you do what you love, sometimes it can feel like working a shift. And I don't think people fully understand that. You know, they think it's always going to be, you're going to be lighting up, it's going to be glamorous. Like they look at me like, oh, you speak on stages to 5,000 people and you spend over 10 years in front of television cameras. A lot of people don't know. A lot of that's kind of a blue collar kind of vibe. People look at you and I'm sure all they see is super successful guy, married, 9 kids. But what they don't see are the unseen hours. The unseen hours when you're grinding in the evenings all the years prior to you having what you have today.
Sure.
A lot of people like to see the end result, but I bet there are parts of your story, your journey leading up to today that people want no part of. They would not want to go through and experience the sacrifices you made, the investments that you made, probably some anxiety and stress that showed up, right? We want the end result. People want to write a book. But they want a finished book on the shelf, but they don't actually want to write the book. Those are two different things.
It's funny because when I was listening to the backstory of Michael Phelps, what is it, 25, 26 gold medals, and the routine that the typical Olympic swimmer did each day, he did that routine twice in the same day for years, didn't miss a single day. So nobody sees that. You talk about the backstory. I promise everybody that I see has that backstory. So in conclusion, to wrap everything up, if someone wants to make a resolution and have it stick, what advice would you give them?
That may be one of the best questions I've ever been asked. One that we want people to stick. The resolution is being very crystal clear about who you're surrounding yourself with. In my experience, no one who has accomplished anything of significance did it alone. Everyone that's watching right now, everyone that's listening right now, I invite you to think about the 5 people you spend the most time with, or I invite you to look at your phone and look at the last 5 people you had text message exchanges with and ask yourself the simple yet challenging question. Do the 5 people you interact with most, do they make you better? Or do they keep you standing still where you are? I invite you to spend time with those men and women that are going to encourage you, inspire you, challenge you, push you, and most importantly, hold you accountable. Identify those allies, hold them close, and also be an ally to others as well.
That's amazing, especially accountability. Stepping into that accountability, being bold into that accountability is tremendous. I want to thank you so much, Antonio, for joining us. How could people find out more about you?
Yeah, all you got to do, if you type in the letter A in Google, my name's not going to come up. But if you type in my whole name, Antonio Neves, you will find everything you need that will lead to theantonioneves.com. That's the headquarters for everything. My website, social, The Antonio Neves.
Well, thank you so much, Antonio. It's really been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Keep up the amazing work.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. Join me next week when I'll chat with photographer Marisha Kemp. During COVID, Marisha captured photos from Americans across the country and learned so much about humanity. She'll share that story as well as what it's like to photograph Bruce Springsteen, Gloria Steinem, DJ Khaled, and more. Until then, have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to the Common Denominator Podcast. Join us next week for another inspiring, impactful, and empowering conversation.
To learn more about Moshe, head to moshepopak.com. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share it. And we'd be grateful if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the show.